Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus this morning. Tom Van Winkle's back, Paul Scott's back, and Chris Makowski back. Good morning to all of you. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, great to be back.
And we have the new and shiny executive director, Terry Renzel, is here. Terry, good morning. And you're the new kid on the block.
Good morning. Yes, this is my first week on the job. Thrilled to be here, and quite honestly, wasn't expecting to be a part of the show this morning, but glad to be a part of it and glad to be with you.
Well, that's the great thing, and they probably didn't mention to you that we've decided that you're going to do the whole hour, and so go.
Okay, you might as well. Y'all might as well just go get some breakfast or something.
That's right. That's what we were thinking. No, it's good to have you here, and a little bit about yourself, and we'll kind of learn about you in this first segment.
Okay, great. Like I said, brand new to town this week. Came from Homer, Alaska, where I spent the last 12 years working in public radio.
Oh, so that's why you wanted to do an air check after this today.
Absolutely. The first 9 years of that as program director, the last three as the station manager. Most of my professional career has been in broadcasting. I majored in history in college and always had a passion and a love for history. And when this opportunity presented itself to me, I just couldn't wait to be a part of it.
And you and Chris have a background.
Yeah, we actually went to college together.
So we were trying to figure out what we wanted for an executive director with CVBT. We were looking for someone who had some experience working with a nonprofit, someone who was used to working with a community-based nonprofit.
Yeah.
Someone who had some interest in history and had the administrative skills. I mean, everybody thinks that this is a job all about the history. And it is, but you still need someone capable of running the organization. So I was like, hey, Terry, how would you like to come back to the United States? Because, of course, Alaska is not really the United States, right? So that's where we
Well, that's the way we've always looked at it too, Chris.
But Terry's also been in Florida. He's been in Kentucky. So he's had a lot of he's well familiar with the South and had a lot of experience in a lot of different sorts of markets.
Well, in this job, in this just this area with the battlefields that we have, and we'll get into this as we go along today. But boy, it's a gold mine as far as the Civil War goes, and what's available in this area, and what you'll be doing. It's exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, everywhere you turn, the history is all around us, and it's our common history as a nation. And if we don't preserve it, we won't be able to teach the next generation and the generation after that our common history and how we as a nation came to be the nation we are today.
To come back, to move back, as Chris put it, back to the United States. that's a big move. As far as miles and just even the lifestyle in the way Alaskans live and the way Virginians live.
Absolutely, I drove all the way.
Oh, so, how long did that take?
It was about 5,200 miles, and it was about 85 hours behind the wheel. I took a few detours on the way, popped into a couple of national parks. So it was quite honestly a once in a lifetime experience, and just absolutely amazing. So, gave me a lot to think about.
We try to make them feel at home. We've got some inflatable moose around the office and things like that. So it's gradually getting back into the.
He came in. He's like, "Where's the snow?"
Yeah. Like Chris said, I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Kentucky in my life. I remember this heat.
Yeah.
All right. But here's Terry's dirty little secret. So he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. And he just told me the other day he's never been to Gettysburg, which, of course, is the great granddaddy of battlefields. And it is nothing like the pristine, beautiful battlefields that we have around here, Gettysburg.
That's what I've heard. I've never been there either.
Monumentation. We'll have to get you up there sometime, Ted. It'll be a good time. So I'm taking him up to Gettysburg so he can sort of see, like, here's what the sort of commercialized Civil War looks like. But I think that'll also help him get a better appreciation for why preservation around here is so important, because we have some beautiful, beautiful battlefields that aren't cluttered with a lot of stuff. So it's a very different experience.
See, I've had this discussion with a lot of different, because a lot of people know my interest in history and will say, well, what do you think of Gettysburg? And I said, I haven't gone, and I really don't have an interest in going. I've always said, I have all I need right here. But there are others who say, if you're going to, you've got to go.
And the anniversary was just earlier this week.
Yeah.
They're doing their kind of official stuff this weekend. So it's the high holy days for people in the Civil War business, you know, to go to Gettysburg. And, you know, it looks like the be-all, end-all of a battlefield with all those monuments and markers. And but it's also so touristy. And, you know, there's a little bit of schlock on the fringes. And it's... But it's a thing you got to experience.
Yeah, I got to remember Gettysburg. They weren't decimated like we were here. They had the money to almost immediately mark it, if you want Gettysburg. There was nothing left here. You know, there were 15,000 inhabitants here during the Civil War. It wasn't until the mid-40s that 15,000 people came back. So there wasn't that commercial opportunity here.
And they really did sculpt that battlefield to be a commercial opportunity, which is kind of ironic compared to what we do, where we're really trying to fight against the forces of commercialism in some ways in order to preserve these fields.
Terry, do you have a favorite battlefield?
Actually, I do not. I mean, I'm more of a generalist when it comes to my personal interests, but I am looking forward to... walking as much of the battlefields here as possible and getting to know them inside and out and really integrating myself into this community and into these battlefields and into the work that we do.
Well, and I learned a couple of months ago, Chris, you and I, you took me on the Myers Hill site.
Yes.
And we walked around that. And I learned you can have just as great a feeling on just some of these little small parcels than when you go to a big battlefield. That was just fantastic to walk along there and to see the topography and just to see a lot of little things. You don't always have to go to a big grand battlefield to get the feeling.
And I think sometimes the grandness gets in the way of being able to get the feeling. And so you're absolutely right. If you can find that great little piece of ground and find a way to connect with it, which is something that we feel like you've got to have the ground before people can connect with it in the first place.
Yeah.
Get them out there, help them connect, and that opens up understandings in all sorts of new ways.
CVBT.com, the website for Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Paul Scott is here. Tom Van Winkle is here. Chris Makowski is here. And Terry Renzel is here. We will continue this conversation. When we come back, we need to take a break. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We're talking about the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust this morning. CVBT.org is the website, CVBT.org. And Tom Van Winkle is here, Paul Scott, Chris Makowski, and Terry Renzel. Before we continue on, Tom, we should mention just a little bit for the person who's not aware of what Central Virginia Battlefields Trust does. Just talk a little bit about all the good things that you're involved with.
Well, we are basically a grassroots organization that started 23 years ago now. And our focus is the four major battlefields here in Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, Spotsylvania, and the Wilderness. And, we pride ourselves in doing a lot with a little. We have, of course, Terry and one other paid individual, and the rest of us is a working volunteer board of directors, always has been. So people can be assured that when they donate, if they could donate a donut, that would be great too. It's early in the morning.
It is early. Yeah.
As you can tell, I'm not awake yet. But when they donate... How's that for recovery? When they donate, the majority of the money goes right to what we call dirt and grass. But we feel these, you know, this particular area has had four battles in 18 months with over 100,000 casualties, and it's probably some of the most fought over ground in the American Civil War. So it's important. A lot of firsts happened here. A lot of things changed here. The direction of the war changed here. So there is a reason why we should be saving the history here. It had a direct influence on the outcome of the end of the Civil War and what we became, as Terry said, as a nation. So, again, we're a small group, but we've been doing this since 1996, very successfully, I feel. And having partners help us with this is what we're all about.
CVBT.org will get you information. I was just, and as you were talking, and you kind of just wrapped up with that. I mean, you have been successful, and you look around here and you think of if Central Virginia Battlefields Trust hadn't been doing what you've been doing, a lot of history would be lost.
True. We were actually in the over 1,300 acres saved at this point in time. So that's kind of substantial. So again, we have it's good that we can focus. Everybody here on our board basically lives here, so we have the boots on the ground kind of advantage of being able to see what's going on quickly and be proactive rather than reactive to things. So that's what's made us very successful.
Well, again, when Chris and I walked Myers Hill, the parcel of land, that just really showed me how important some of those small pieces are, because if that had been lost and it just been developed, or even just sat there, but owned privately, we would have less of the story to tell, Chris.
And one of the things that I think is important about Myers Hill in particular is that the Park Service's holdings really emphasize the fighting that took place during the first week of the battle. After that, as Grant starts to get mobile and starts maneuvering and moving around, he really spreads out the field. And much of that ground has not been preserved. So CVBT's first purchase out there, Harris Farm, that preserves one of those later actions. We've got a lot of property down by the Po River that stretches beyond what the Park Service owns. So what we're able to do by looking at some of these parcels is really open up the story so people have a much better understanding of what happened here. I also think, just kind of to your point a second ago too, is that some of the parcels really do a lot to preserve the integrity of already existing ground. And there I think of McClaw's Wedge, where the Park Service owned a whole lot of property in that area, but there's this huge chunk in the middle that they didn't own. And if that had turned into a housing development, that would have ruined the integrity of that whole side of the battlefield. So we're really, you know, kind of looking for multiple reasons why these pieces of ground are important.
Paul, there was in the last segment, you wanted to jump in, so before you lose your thought.
In following up on what Chris has said earlier, if you look at Gettysburg, even Fredericksburg, you walk over land where thousands of people have walked over before, many, many tourists and history buffs. But if you go to, for instance, Myers Hill, 73 acres we just purchased or are purchasing now, it's literally untouched from the war. Mm-hmm. A lot of growth on it, but you can walk those trenches literally untouched. This property was scheduled for development, was already platted for development, but we bought it before the first lot was sold. So we saved that piece. Hadn't been walked over by much of any way. So when you walk those trenches, you get a serious connection to what happened there 150 years ago.
I did. When we walked it, Chris, it reminded me of the Stafford Civil War Park, where there's just a lot of that has been preserved just because it has sat there. And as you pointed out, trenches, I thought these are really well-defined trenches.
And in some cases, it's just pure dumb luck that some of these parcels haven't been snatched up. The folks who did that, the Civil War Park in Stafford, what a fantastic job they did. What a beautiful, beautiful little park that is. It's dumb luck that didn't get... Yeah. Developed before now. So in some ways, and Tom speaks about this a lot, we're sort of playing catch-up, you know, sort of a rear-guard action to try to preserve pieces that otherwise could get swallowed up.
Well, and you mentioned the Harris Farm. I didn't even know that existed or was even part of it until a few years ago when it was the celebrating the anniversary, when it was one of the big anniversaries, and there was a program out there. I think you all you and the Park Service led a little program there one night, and Frank O'Reilly told the story. Mm-hmm. And I when it's in the Bloomsbury subdivision, I had no idea it was there. I had driven by it before, but just thought, it's a place with a marker. You see that all around.
Right, right.
And there's a great story there.
And fortunately, because that's a low-density development, you can still see the topography fairly well out there. So even though there are houses, you can still kind of get a sense of what took place out there. But, you know, you mentioned Bloomsbury. There's a great example where the old house sat there, and one day it was just gone. And those of us in the preservation community are like, whoa, what happened there? Not even an opportunity to try to save that old house. Yeah. Now, as I understand it, and you guys might know details better, it was in pretty rough shape and would have required some serious rehabilitation. But it's always heartbreaking when you don't even get the chance, you know, and history vanishes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had been out there like a week earlier, and just stood there and looked at the house, not knowing anything was going to happen, and then a week later you hear that there are bulldozers over there.
Yeah, poof, it was gone.
And that's what you being able to save some of this land, you're helping to preserve so much of this area.
And because we're local, we get to see it before it's gone sometimes. And that's the advantage of a local grassroots organization like we are.
So back to a little bit with Gettysburg, because there has been, with the anniversary in such a big deal made, because I have always looked at that and thought, boy, so much is focused on Gettysburg, and yet when our anniversaries come up, nationally anyway, a lot of times there's very little attention paid to it.
Tom and I feel this way. The turning point of the war took place here, you know, and Gettysburg has been built up as the turning point, and I tell people that is balderdash, and, you know, that kind of shocks some people. But, you know, Tom lives right out there in the wilderness, and that's where the war made its turn.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the battles previous to the 1864 clash in the wilderness, the end result is the armies normally parted, went across their respective sides of the river and waited to fight the next season, so to speak. Wilderness, you know, in the intersection of Brock Road and Orange Plank Road, you know, Ulysses S. Grant made a change. He said, hey, we're just going to follow Lee wherever he goes. And it's no longer capture the flag. It's no longer, all right, we'll retreat and fight another day. We're going to follow you. And that started the 40-plus days of the Overland Campaign, which ended, culminated in the end of the war. That is the turning point, and arguably most historians are beginning to see that now. Again, it goes back to commercialization, you know, and Gettysburg is looked at as the major high water mark, if you will, you know, and it truly didn't really change anything. It was a great loss of life, great story there,
yeah,
but it didn't change the outcome of the war or the perspective way the war was fought at all.
Even people who say that Gettysburg was the high tide of the Confederacy, and I tell them that's hogwash. I mean, Chancellorsville is the high tide of the Confederacy because after that, it's all downhill. Lee never scores an offensive battlefield victory again, and the war goes on for two more years. Chancellorsville is his supreme shining moment. That's the high tide right there. All, unfortunately for the Confederacy, all downhill after that.
And just just how this area was devastated when you take a look at Spotsylvania and Stafford and how long it took both of them to just recover the wealth and the people.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about firsts. Fredericksburg was the first American town inhabited, controlled by American troops.
Stafford didn't recover its population until after World War II.
So lots of things happen during that battle that really rewrite the rules of warfare. And Ambrose Burnside sort of gets a kind of a bum rap, but he's having to make up and rewrite the rules of war on the fly. He has to figure out, how do we cross a river under fire? How do we successfully conduct an artillery bombardment? How do we conduct urban warfare? These are all things that the Army generally doesn't have much or any experience doing. And so the rules of war get rewritten during this campaign. And of course, then there's the context of the politics with the Emancipation Proclamation coming up on the horizon, and Lincoln needs that victory to give the Emancipation Proclamation some teeth. So that also makes it a fascinating campaign to study as well.
See, you're all making my point that I don't need to go to Gettysburg. I can stay here. I need to just pull this out. Because I am told over and over again that if you're interested in history and you haven't been to Gettysburg, you haven't, you know, can't be that interested in history.
I don't want to tick off all our Gettysburg friends. It's a trip you should make. It's a great story there. You know, the military story of it is fine. If you want to see a lot of markers and concrete, it's also the place to go. But, you know,
which Gettysburg, in itself can be cool because some of the monuments are beautiful.
Yeah. You know, and monuments in itself are interesting. When I started learning about monuments, I found out the majority of monuments around were from Sears and Roebuck Company. They produced particular monuments, and then when you get to see a monument, don't particularly think that that's where the action happened, because if you're from a small county and you want your monument up there, you want it as close to the street as you can to be seen. That may not necessarily be where that regiment or whatever was. So monuments in themselves have an interesting story.
So Gettysburg's worth seeing just for the experience of going to see it. But if you really want the good stories and the history and the substantive stuff, it's important to kind of dig into it a little bit. And boy, we have got substance around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking Central Virginia Battlefields Trust this morning. Tom Van Winkle is here. Terry Renzel, Chris Makowski, and Paul Scott. CVBT.org is the website. More coming up. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are talking Central Virginia Battlefields Trust this morning with Terry Renzel. He's the executive director. Chris Makowski, Paul Scott, and Tom Van Winkle on the board. Tom's is the president too of Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. One of the things, and I like getting all you guys together and us talking, because we talk on this program history a lot. But you guys are involved in preservation, and you're doing what groups do, but you're doing it here. And I think that's the key. When you see Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, it's Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania. It's this region. It's the battlefields right here that you're working to preserve.
Correct. There are basically three major battlefield groups right now. There's a lot of battlefield groups, but three major ones. The American Battlefield Trust, which does Revolutionary War and Civil War, and they're national. There's the Shenandoah Valley, which preserves everything out there. And then there's us, which preserve right here the focus for battlefields. There are ABT, being a national group, has a scope of an unbelievably large scope. And there's a lot of things that they can't do everything, let's put it that way. So having us here and us being the caretakers of these four battlefields, we'll pick up smaller parcels and stitch together a battlefield. We can afford to be more patient with smaller purchases and focus on it completely. One of the things I always say we're doing is we're literally reassembling Jackson's flank attack out in Chancellorsville, one piece at a time.
Yeah.
It's taken years, and we've still got a lot more to do, but sometimes you got to buy an acre. We're more in line to be able to write a check for an acre, pay more attention to it than the American Battlefield Trust, who may be down in Perryville trying to do something on 100 acres. So it's important to have us as a group assisting in just preserving this one area and the focus on it. So that's the difference with us. And having this group here in this area, I always say that the Rappahannock area, the Fredericksburg area, should be proud that they have such a well-known, large, successful preservation group working on our history here in their own backyard. You know, we are part of the community, and the community should feel like, wow, we're privileged to have a group of people here that are looking out for not only our history, but the green spaces. I mean, we talk battlefields, but it's to the point now where preserved battlefields are really the only green spaces that are being preserved anymore. So certain places like Slaughter Pen Farm or things like that, which we gave $1 million to several years ago, you go out there and at any given time there's people walking their dogs, you're taking a walk. May not necessarily have any interest in history, but just the fact that that's an open green space and one of the few around is also important.
And I think that because it's a local effort, I mean, we're talking to our neighbors, you know, and we have the chance to develop relationships so that if we see a parcel that we know eventually is going to need preserved, we can make the long-term commitment to working with those landowners or working with those neighbors and really, you know, coming up with solutions that help everybody, and it's a win-win sort of thing for everybody.
Yeah, win-win is a big phrase with us. We're not adversarial. We don't fight anybody. We don't draw the line off too often. Sometimes you need to, but we just work with everybody. There's a win-win situation for everything, and that's what we strive to do.
And being local, we're more apt to see something when it comes on the market, because our lands manager will drive the roads and look for sale signs. He'll hear something in the wind that somebody's getting ready to sell a property that we had been interested in. Another matter too is if we buy that acre, it often has a house on it. So not only do you have to buy the acre, but you have to buy the house. We like to restore it the way it was during the Civil War, so that house will have to come down. The will have to be kept. So it's not always a cheap purchase, but it's a valuable purchase.
Yeah.
And because so much development anywhere you go in America looks like development anywhere else in America, there's this sort of homogeny that is happening in the modern world. We have unique resources to this area. There's only one Fredericksburg battlefield. There's only one Chancellorsville battlefield. And the stories, the resources associated with those are absolutely unique. And so one of the things that being a community organization is we can help people realize, like, this is something nobody else has. We have it, and nobody else has this. We don't want to look like all the rest of America when we've got something so unique.
Well, and the other thing, and I think, you know, having you involved, Chris, a recognized historian, and others that are interested, the Myers Hills, the Harris Farm, some of these others that a lot of people are just like, you know, what's that? And you're able to tell the story and to put it in context and to talk about why it's important.
I was actually, before I was on the board, CVBT asked me, can you just kind of help us understand why Myers Hill is important? And, you know, my whole face lit up and I was like, well, let me tell you. You know, I mean, as a historian, it is so exciting to be associated with some of these properties because the stories are so fantastic. You know, even the piece that we recently acquired along the Brock Road for the 5th Corps, and it kind of helps plug in some property, helps protect the integrity of the park boundary. But, you know, people driving by would pass by what looks like a plot of woods with an old rundown house on it and not think twice of it. And it's like, well, there was a Union general who died on that property, and I think about the federal soldiers lining up for the first assault of that day at that battle, getting ready to sweep through those woods, and how scared and tired and exhausted and determined those, and it just, what a story, you know, and it's a privilege.
There's so much here that was involved in the Civil War. Actually, less than 20% has been preserved or saved as part of that was part of the battlefield.
Wow, that's not much.
And if you think that of the four major battlefields that took place in this area, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, Wilderness, and Spotsylvania, all of them are Gettysburg-sized battles. That was a point that Janice Fry, a former historian with the Park Service here, made to me years ago. It's like, you've got four battles that are Gettysburg-sized battlefields. And yet, because of the development, because of their proximity to each other, the park itself really isn't any larger or smaller in size than Gettysburg itself. And yet it contains four times the amount of history. That's a lot of history to cram into a geographic space.
Well, Tom, I guess one of the things to also think about that people do need to think about as far as getting involved is donations now make it possible to the next piece of land that comes up that's important. You're able to move ahead and purchase it, you know, wherever or whatever that is.
That's exactly right. And, you know, sometimes you fall back on, oh, we found a property, we need to buy it, we purchase it, and then we'll send out an appeal. What people have to understand is we rely on continuous donations, continued memberships, what we call partners, to constantly bring in the money so that we have the ability, say, a particular 5th Corps the battlefield parcel that Chris just mentioned, we were able to write a check for it immediately. We purchased that property because an initial contract from another buyer fell through. And we told them, well, if you have an issue with it, we'll write you a check. and that made the sale. So having the funds in order to do these things, again, goes back to being proactive. Myers Hill, of course, is something we had to finance, almost $500,000, but we did have the money to put a down payment on it. So, being part of this organization, because we feel we're part of the community, and we want the community to be part of us. And, of course, in a nonprofit, part of the, being us is to donate and become part of our group. So that's very important. And as things happen, things come on the market quickly. Sometimes a for sale sign will be up in a heartbeat, and you need to act on it quickly, and you need to have the funding to be able to back that up.
Well, and I'm sure there are things that you can't talk about, that there are other pieces out there that you've got your eye on.
We are continually working on other parcels, and our policy is not to mention it until the dotted line is signed.
Yeah.
But we are never not working on other parcels. So don't ever take silence as we're not doing anything. We are constantly working, but as I tell people, a purchase is not as easy as knocking on a door and saying, well, you want to sell your front yard and here's a check. It takes sometimes years to get something cultivated where you've got a deal going. And a lot of silly things get in the way of it. I always tell the story of the barn cats at Slaughter Pen Farm. Mrs. Pearson had a lot of cats in a barn, and she was so concerned about the cats, it became an issue of the sale of that property. So not everything is cut and dry, and some things have some very interesting background to it as to why things may or may not be sold.
It's interesting you talk about how long, because it was just a week ago that they announced and did a little program at Phones Cliffs out in Richmond County, and they talked about how that was a 10-year process, the between a number of different groups. And at various times didn't think it was going to happen, but it was over 10 years. So like you say, these things don't just happen.
Yeah, and that's why that cultivation of your good neighbor policy is so important. And you really do need to remember you're part of the community, your neighbors.
True, you know, and that's the way we present ourselves. We are part of the community, and we're never going to do anything that's going to change that.
So, Ted, I'm going to sort of impose here just a second. I'm going to ask Terry to share a story because as we're talking about different properties and why that's important, Terry has a good story from when we were interviewing him, and he asked all of us, what do you think the most important property was that you saved? And I'll let Terry share the story.
Question I asked when I was here in April for the interview, and various board members said, you know, various pieces of property over the years, and Tom waited till then, and it was his answer that said, these are the people I want to come work for. This is the type of thing I want to do with, you know, the next phase of my life. Tom said the most important property that we save is the next one.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that
moment of lucidity.
Tom, I didn't know that you had it in
me
you.
Me neither. So.
And that was the moment that I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
That forward-lookingness, I think, is really important. Huh?
Yeah. You know, this is not an organization that's going to rest on its past. We're going to keep moving forward to save the next piece of property and the next piece of property and continue to tell the story, you know, as we go. And that's something that's very important to me and, at the end of the day, is very gratifying.
Ironic that an organization that is focused on the past is not going to rest on its own past, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, and the other thing is none of us regular people know, because Myers Hill, like you say, is just – it's not out there to where I would have never even known. I knew that area pretty well, but I didn't know that. A lot of these little areas are just tucked away in subdivisions or in, you know, here and there, and there's a lot of history with those, but we don't always know that.
And one of the challenges that we as an organization have is like, okay, so we've purchased a piece to preserve it. Now what do we do with it? And in some cases, it might be to turn that over to the Park Service if it falls within the park's boundary. Maybe that we need to act as stewards of it for a while on our own. Do we develop access? Do we develop interpretation? You know, so there are all these sorts of questions that go beyond just signing a check and sending over, oh, it's preserved. Because making sure that that is preserved is one step. Helping people understand why it's important, why it's relevant, how it fits larger stories, that's a whole other set of different questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, access and interpretation is on our horizon, but it is a whole different animal. Purchasing the property, of course, you need it to be able to do anything with it to begin with, which is what we're doing now. But we do realize that we have to allow, if people are going to donate to something, they might want to take a look at it. And in the future, we understand we're going to be needing to do that. But that goes back to the good neighbor policy. You know, you buy a certain amount of acreage next to a couple of houses, you don't want to do something that's going to upset the people that are living next to it. So that's a consideration. Security is a consideration. Interpretation is a consideration. It's a whole other list of items you need to deal with after the property purchase. But we are looking into that and several. We have a couple of sites, you know, Pelham's Corner and Harris Farm, things like that you can go on that are interpreted. And we are going to expand upon that in the near future. But again, it all comes back to the bottom line, the dollar. It costs a lot of money to do that also.
But Pelham's Corner is another great example of just a little tiny sliver of land there, but to play such a key part. And you've done a great job of telling that story and making that accessible.
True. It's a great little area, and the backstory to that is that wasn't the property we bought. We bought two lots to the side of it that had really nothing to do with what we wanted, but one of our presidents at the time had foresight to know that if that corner wants to be developed, maybe those two small parcels we just purchased would play a role in it, and it did, and we made a swap and wound up with the corner we wanted anyway.
I didn't know that.
So, and now we actually have the entire property all around that area. But it was some foresight. You know, again, things take a long time. That took a couple years, and the developer wanted to put something there, and they needed those two lots. And we said, fine, then, you know, how about the little corner there? And that worked out.
Do you ever run into the situation where some want to buy a certain, you've got something's out there, and some want it, and others say, you know, I don't know that this
fits.
As
far as the board goes?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Myers Hill would probably be the latest on that. Some were questioning the viability of what historical value it had, because not many people, like Chris said, paid much attention to it. There's a humongous amount of history on that, which we've been researching and bringing ourselves probably one of the people know the most about it, Mr. John Cummings, a local historian, knows about it and helped us with. But no, not everything goes a unanimous decision, but once the decision is made, everybody throws their weight behind it. Which was a great thing about this organization. I have been parts of other organizations where you spend more time, let's say, discussing things than doing anything. This group, you have a heartfelt discussion, and then you decide, and you move on, and you get it done, which is a great thing about this organization. But no, not everybody wants to save everything. We try not to present ourselves as each having a favorite anything. It's a matter of, does it tell a story? Does it add to the story? Is it a part of history we need to save, regardless if you don't care about that battle or not? It's based on history. What do we need to do, and should we do it?
And as Tom said, we have a working board. We have about 15 members, and we meet twice a month, and we don't rest on our laurels. When we find a spot that we think we want, we discuss it thoroughly, and then we take a vote. And if we buy it, we buy it. We don't. Usually we buy it if it's worth it.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, CVBT.org, CVBT.org. Terry Renzel is here, Chris Makowski, Paul Scott, and Tom Van Winkle. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus. Tom Van Winkle, the president here, along with Paul Scott, Chris Makowski, and Executive Director Terry Renzel is here. Terry, like you said, this is way to jump right in the first week. Why don't you just come on the radio and talk about it?
Absolutely. Like I said, not expecting that when I got here this morning, but glad to be a part of it.
As you could see just in talking with you just the passion you have for this, and there's obviously a lot to be done, and I know that you're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. If you spend too much time thinking about how much there is to be done, it could be overwhelming. So it's important to just focus on the task in front of you and the couple of tasks that you know need to be addressed this week. And it's just going to be a slow, regular process. And at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, you just keep making progress and keep going. And it's important that the community is involved with us, because it's not only the nation's history, but it's the local history of this area. And it's something that's important. And it's a passion for history that I have. That's why I'm here. And the longer I'm here, the more ingrained I'll get into the specifics of each one of these battles and each one of these pieces of property. And that's going to be a fantastic thing for everyone.
Well, since I've gotten to know you guys a little bit better over the last few months, I look forward to the next big announcement. I can't wait to get
so
either,
do we. So
whether it's from Chris or from Tom or somebody, or to get an email or from Paul saying, hey, we'd like to come on and we've got an announcement to make. And I mean, I just wondering where it's going to be and what it'll entail.
So do we. I mean, our last annual conference, I was about to make a big announcement, and the day before it couldn't be made. Something happened. So things come down to the wire.
Yeah. So that's what's exciting. And that's why, again, to reiterate, the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, you're local here. You're dealing with the local battlefields, and get involved and make those purchases and donations and things like that, because it just makes the organization stronger.
And in return, it's not like you're just writing a check and off it goes. I mean, aside from the satisfaction of preserving the history around here, which is something important to a lot of us, we have the opportunity to come to our annual meeting with tours given by nationally prominent historians, great keynote speakers, great opportunity to just do some conversation and networking and talk history with other history lovers. We've got a new magazine called On the Front Line. Tom is the executive director of that. That highlights not only some of our properties, but some of the key stories in this area, so that people can really kind of get in touch in a more in-depth way about our local history. So there are many benefits to becoming a partner with Central Virginia Battlefield Trust.
Yeah, and I try to not use the word donate or donut, which I've used twice today, but more of the word is invest. You're investing in your community is what you're doing.
Yeah. Now we talk about it. We are so fortunate to have the battlefields that we have in this area, and just the stories. And the thing is, the battles were long ago, but we still continue to add. We still continue to find things and learn more.
People show up and be like, my great-great-grandfather was at this battle, and they just feel that family connection. So there are all sorts of ways that we're still reaping the benefits of that history. Tourism dollars are huge. The average historical tourist will actually spend more money than someone who comes for other tourism reasons. They spend almost $300 a day. That's a lot of money for the local community. So when Tom talks about an investment, we're getting a return on that through tax dollars and tourism dollars and things like that.
CVBT.org is the website for the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Tom Van Winkle, Paul Scott, Chris Makowski, and Terry Renzel. You are all really, really heroes in this area, what you do. And thank you for what you do, and keep it up, and hopefully more get involved. CVBT.org for the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
We will do it again. Thank you. That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.